Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
Welcome back, everybody. So today is another exciting selection day. Previously, Alice and I had picked our four books for our 2021 NICE, and that stands for Noblesville Interdisciplinary Creativity Expo. And our four books are Sula by Toni Morrison, Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs, A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline Alingle. Is that how you pronounce her name? Alingle?
I just said Langle.
Lingle? Okay. Langle. We'll learn this by the end of our season.
I think when I can't remember when, but some literature class or something, some teacher at some point in my life told me that if it's a, you know, if it's an apostrophe like that in a name, you just read it like, you say it like it's, the apostrophe's Lingle. Not there. Langle. Yeah. So.
Lingle.
Yeah. That's how I've always done it. But I'm sure our readers will let us know if we're wrong. Our readers, our listeners.
And then our last selection is actually a short story, The Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Gilman.
It may be a short story, but it's got a lot of meat on the bone.
It does. And so now that we've selected our overall books / pieces of literature, what we always like to do to make it a little bit more get-attable for our artists and our participants is highlight just a passage from each of those. And so then as artists of any type are creating works, they can use that as their entry point, and they can either focus just on that one quote or on the work as a whole. So we are selecting our quotes today.
And that, as easy as it sounds, this is actually the harder for me anyway. I feel like this portion of our project is harder than choosing the books, because the books, you know, you're thinking about the book as a whole. You just love that book. You want to delve deeply into it. For the standalone passages, once we've chosen those books and we start going through our four books and each of us finds passages that jump out at us or that really call to us or that we think would be, you know, have full of imagery and stuff that artists and of all kinds would love to use as inspiration, it gets harder and harder, because you and I love these, you know, classic literature so much. We, you know, it's like I use post-it notes. I've got one book will just be like every other paragraph has a post-it note next to it. I'm like, oh no, too many passages, too little time. So this is a hard part for us. Yeah.
And man, the first one that we have picked is, one I found the hardest, because Sula by Toni Morrison, even just the first read through that, I was just in love with how poetic that language is.
Yeah.
So let's dive into this.
Should we go in these discussions in there, how as we select the final four passages, should we go book by book? Do you think we should just like talk about passages in Sula first?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it.
That's fine with me.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
So do you want to read your first one?
Yes, and I will apologize for my stuffy nose because it is spring in Indiana and I have seasonal allergies. So I'll try to control my stuffiness. Okay, so again, Sula was written published in 1973 by Toni Morrison. And this is the first passage that really stuck out to me. She had been looking all along for a friend, and it took her a while to discover that a lover was not a comrade and could never be for a woman, and that no one would ever be that version of herself which she sought to reach out to and touch with an ungloved hand. There was only her own mood and whim, and if that was all there was, she decided to turn the naked hand toward it, discover it, and let others become as intimate with their own selves as she was. Now, I think that passage, who knows what book that could be from? It's such a great standalone passage, you know, and it makes me want to find out, what book is this in? What is she talking? Who is this she? And what's going on that this is what she's thinking? I just found it fascinating. I love this passage.
I love this one too. And since one of the things that appealed to us about Sula is that it highlights female friendship. I mean, this yes. mm-hmm. quote represents that extremely well, and it is beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And there's something lonely in it too. And you know, speaking it from a position of COVID-19, that touch with an ungloved hand, I think that was part of why this particular quote really jumped out at me. I hate to always bring everything back to isolation and COVID-19, but you know, it's just something that struck me as, you know, possibly in previous years, had we looked at this, that particular phrase wouldn't have really jumped out at me so much, but there's just something lonely and you know, personal and beautiful, and you know, you get so many like visuals even in this passage. I just felt it was really powerful.
I'm highlighting it because I love
okay.
it.
All right, good. I'm glad you're doing that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So. And then this is proof. My proof is in the pudding. Is that the next quote that I did you have anything else you want to say about that, or are we just
nope.
okay? Mm-mm. The next quote from the book is actually on the same page, so you can see my post-it notes were running together. Okay, here is the second quote from Sula. In a way, her strangeness, her naivete, her craving for the other half of her equation was the consequence of an idle imagination. Had she paints or clay or knew the discipline of the dance or strings? Had she anything to engage her tremendous curiosity and her gift for metaphor? She might have exchanged the restlessness and preoccupation with whim for an activity that provided her with all she yearned for. And like an artist with no art form, she became dangerous. Oh my mm-hmm. God. I mm-hmm. mean, this is going to be so hard to choose one passage from mm-hmm. this book. What do you love about that? Because I know what I love about it. I just love all the visuals and the artsy, you know, references and just the truth of it. You know, mm-hmm. what do you do? What do you do with your creative soul if you don't have, you know, if you haven't somehow developed a way to express that through an art form, if you will. So,
right.
yeah, you know,
right.
That last line, and like an artist with no art form, she mm-hmm. became dangerous. I'm like, what happens to them? Do they become politicians? You know, it's like, what, you know? And again, this stands alone, you know, mm-hmm. we know where it fits in the book Sula, because we've been reviewing that and everything, but it could be accessed by any creative out there without going further into the book if they didn't have time or the inclination. So thoughts, Sarah.
Yeah, this also made my list several times, because what I did is I actually used Goodreads to help me select. Okay. And sometimes they would only include that last sentence. Sometimes they would include a paragraph. Sometimes
yeah,
they would include two
exactly.
paragraphs. So but I love that last yeah, line.
I know that last line is really intriguing. Right. It's, and it has that element, I mean, the tense in which, and I mean like tense as in past, present, you know, that grammatical tense, the tense in which this is written is technically past tense, but that last line, she became dangerous, that's technically past tense, but it also has that element of, you know, into the future,
right.
And action
happen?
Is happening, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know there's a word for the tense of became. I just, you know, it's that phrase, that whole phrase. My literature classes have eluded me at the moment. They're more, let's put it this way, there are more tenses than past, present, future. I know that, but there's just something about this passage that goes beyond the moment that's being narrated, you know.
I like this for a couple of reasons. First, I like the very specific references to different types of art, which we're big on.
We are,
But also opportunity, because we also like talking about, you know, what are the unfairnesses in society that mean that maybe one group of people does not have the access.
Exactly.
And I think that could be great to explore that.
I think it would be in the greater context of the book, because we are talking, this is a character who would not have had access to, you know, privileged white society art lessons and stuff like that at the time. I mean, at the time the book is set in, that's definitely something that I thought of too. But you know, there are certain phrases and word use in this that I think creatives of all kinds could just take, like the preoccupation with whim and idle imagination. I mean, I'm visualizing all kinds of artwork and poetry and you know, all kinds of song music coming that kind of exudes the words that are in this passage. So yeah, I mean, this is gonna be such a hard,
we're gonna highlight everything. Yeah,
just to remind our listeners, we go through the passages that Sarah E and I have independently chosen, we discuss them, and then we start trying to narrow them down by, literally, usually what we do is we get rid of the ones that we just connect with slightly less, you know, and we try to whittle it down that way to find the one passage in each book that really gets us. So right now we've had two that we both love, so we're in trouble. Join us next time as we continue our discussion of potential passages from Sula by Toni Morrison.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.